You are listening to the Movement Church Podcast, a church located in Hendersonville, Tennessee. The Movement Church exists to grow believers in their faith, equip them to make a difference in the world, and encourage believers to make the next move towards God. For more information, go to movementchurchtn.com.
Here at Movement Church, we stand for the reading of God's words. If you could go ahead and stand. Matthew 26 is where we will be today. In verses 26 through 29. Give you a moment to turn there. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take ye, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of this vine until the day when I drink it new with you in your Father's kingdom." This is God's word. You may be seated.
Well, first I want to say that this month is Pastor Appreciation Month. And we have an amazing pastor and his family. I want to publicly say that. And I want us to honor Pastor Daniel, Andrea, Kate, Kenzie, Carter. I know it's not about you, and I know you're very uncomfortable, me even just doing this. But I want you to know, I am grateful that you're my pastor, and I'm honored to serve with you. And I want to encourage you, let's honor those who are worthy. We were, one Christmas, a donor gave us this unlimited amount of money and said, to go out on a meal. And he said, "Take your entire staff out on a meal and take them and treat them because they have done so well this year." And he said, "Seriously, I want you to, don't go Applebee's, go somewhere really, really nice." And not that Applebee's isn't nice, but I want you to go somewhere really nice. And so here we go, our staff dressed up. We dressed up in matching clothes. In fact, there's this guy in the far right with just the blue shirt is sitting right there. Tyler Powell, who is the church planning director for the Village Church, where Matt Chandler pastors, he's been leading that. And he and I served together for 10 years. And so this was our, if you remember this this date, we dressed up. Why did we do color coordination? Whose idea was that? We looked like Family Feud. But we enjoyed, we had hors d'oeuvres we couldn't pronounce, we had desserts that were lit on fire at the end, we enjoyed drinks with umbrellas in it, we laughed, we cried, we enjoyed the great successful year that we had together, and it was an amazing night, and someone else paid for it. It was out of their generosity, out of their grace, out of their gratitude for this beautiful team. But as good as that was, and as memorable as it is, I remembered it. As good as it was like scraps that you get out of McDonald's dumpster compared to the Lord's table. He has provided to us this beautiful table, this beautiful gift to us, called communion, called Lord's Supper, called Lord's Table. He's provided to us this beautiful banquet that's out of his generosity, that out of his body, depicted by the bread, and his blood, depicted by the wine or juice. He's given to us out of that generosity, and he's presented it to us, and he said, "I want to lavish this upon you, and I want you to take it and receive it with gratitude and remembering I am there with you. I'll never forsake you. I am there to give you my grace. I'm there to give you my forgiveness. I'm there to give you my salvation. I'm there to give you unity and communion among one another. This is what I give to you, and I offer this freely to you. Now, I have 7 points, which is wrong. It's just wrong. Especially on a day you take communion. But it's like, when I hear things that's like, okay, 5 things about this, I read them. When someone says, I want to tell you what I think about, I'm not there. So this is like, we're going to rapid fire these together. The first thing I want to look at is the generosity of Christ's sacrifice. Matthew 26:26, we read part of it. Take, eat, this is my body. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. He's saying, like, take, eat, this is it. The most direct expression of his sacrifice and his generosity to us is giving of himself. No greater thing. He couldn't just give part of his body, He gave it all. This was a complete, absolute sacrifice that we have. And it required him to die so that we may live. That's what was beautiful about this. No one has done this. Christ did it for us. This sacrifice is the heart of the gospel, and the Lord's table is our reminder. Receiving the bread and wine is like receiving him. Christ demonstrates his ultimate act of generosity, giving his life to rescue those who could not save themselves. We cannot save ourselves. We need someone else. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But he has given his life so that we may have salvation. And so the table is generous in Christ's sacrifice. And secondly, the table symbolizes generous grace. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Notice this gift of God. It's his gift. And it's not what you do that gets you into heaven and gets you into eternal life. It is not your works at all. You can't say, man, I really did it. I'm good. I earned this. That's where I was when I was in deep pride before I had turned back to the Lord. And I was like, I really wanted to earn it myself because I was full of pride. And the minute God broke me, it was like, I am undone. I can't do it. I can't attain to it. I need someone else. And it's him. It's this verse right here that turned my heart around. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works. You're going to get to heaven and go, look what I did. Now, the Grand Canyon is the most beautiful place, one of the most beautiful places in the world. And it is 150 feet wide at its narrowest spot and like 18 miles at its longest. But let's take the shortest, 150 feet. I don't know where that is. 150 feet. And Daniel and I line up and go, all right, we're going to see if we can jump over this thing and get to the other side. And we're just going to go, and Daniel, you go first. And he runs, boom, he goes 15, 18 feet. But he's still 100 feet short of getting to the other side. He's down. Come on, I can do this. I was a long jumper in high school. I can do this. Surely I can do this, especially now at my age. And I jump. Boom. I go 20 feet because I had a little trampoline there. But I'm still 130 feet short. Now, in that situation, I'm 5-6 feet better than Daniel. But where are both of us? We're dead. And there's some truly who do better than others in this life. They're more moral. They're more upright. But the truth is, we're still 130 feet from the other side. And God said, I will make a way. I'll give you a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of your own jump. Because you're going to die. Let me do it for you. In communion, we're reminded that salvation is this free gift. And it's given to us by God. We can't do it on our own. Third, the table symbolized generous hospitality. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. And notice that the relationship with Jesus includes a meal, includes eating. And even in the ancient world, every time that they had any kind of event, it always included the meal as the main event. Think of a wedding, and you know, people don't go to the wedding, but they go to the reception. You know, that's the wedding marriage part should be the main event, but they come to the reception. It's like this, we enjoy that. There's record of that even in ancient times, whether social or religious. It always includes this. And Jesus going like, if you want to be one, because eating a meal with another person gives the idea of friendship, of acceptance, of unity, of love. That's why they looked at Jesus and said, why are you eating with publicans and sinners, tax collectors? Because it was like, are you in union with these people? That was the idea. And Jesus said, here, he's saying, come to me and we'll eat together. If you'll open the door, I'll come and be a part of that. I'll enter into this relationship with you. And we'll have this intimate relationship with one another. And that's why the Lord's table is that gift given to us that we get to receive. And by the way, there's only two times that we, in spiritual world, that we have this physical involvement. It's baptism into the water, and it's receiving communion, that we get to put it on our tongue and we can taste it and we can feel it. It's a reminder. It's the gift he's given to us that said, hey, don't forget what this pictures. Don't forget this grace is given to you freely, openly, and I want to come in and be a part of you and be a part of your life. And so the Lord's table is a generous hospitality. It just says, you're mine, I'm your. Come in and we're going to be together and offering himself through his shed blood. You know, we're a lonely society. It's gotten worse. In the last 10 years, and even since COVID, I don't even like saying that word, it's gotten worse. We're separated away from each other. And Jesus said, invite me. I'm here with you. I want to be yours. I want to be a friend to you. I want to belong together with you. And when we have Jesus as our friend as well, we have all those who's his friends as well. No other place do we gather together this group of people except under the banner of Christ's friends. All of Christ's friends come. And here we are, at least in this expression. We're Christ's friends, which means if you're a friend of Christ, you're a friend of mine. Communion reminds us of that oneness and that belongness to each other. It's a beautiful gift. Number four. I said it's going quick. Come on. The generosity of forgiveness. Matthew 26:26. Notice this part. We read it, but I'm going to read it the last part again. Take, eat, this is my body. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out, what? For many, for the forgiveness of sins. The Lord's table is that reminder that we're forgiven by God, not on the basis, again, of what we do and how good we are, but in spite of that, we receive this forgiveness of Him. It costs us nothing, but it cost Him everything. Forgiveness is generosity. He doesn't need to give that to us. And by the way, we can't out-sin His ability to forgive. He said, I'm too far gone. I'm not there. You don't know what I've done. Paul persecuted Christians. Rahab was a harlot. She's in the line of Jesus Christ. David sinned horribly. He's in the line of Jesus Christ. Moses killed. Doesn't matter what you've done. Your sin is not greater than His forgiveness. Come on, receive it today. Receive His forgiveness today. He said, I keep sinning and doing the same dumb thing over and over again. Receive His forgiveness starting today, starting right now. When we experience this forgiveness from Him, we're set free. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1 tells us, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Not only that, don't forget the last part, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, you're forgiven. By faith you ask Him, He forgives you, and He can cleanse you. And His power can keep you, and they can continually call you to repentance each and every time and day. And so we come to this table with our sins, and we walk away with forgiveness. Fifth, a generous unity among all. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share one loaf. We all share one loaf. Jesus' sacrifice extended to all, to rich, to poor, to black, to white, to liberal, to conservative, to moral, immoral, Baptist, Catholic, Mormon, Muslim, Methodist, Mennonite, Vanderbilt fans, Tennessee fans, Arkansas fans. Oh, wait, maybe I went too far. The shared loaf and cup remind us of the gospel's generous invitation to unite people from every nation, tribe, and tongue. It welcomes everyone who believes and repents. We believe, we repent. And by the way, we keep doing that. We find ourselves in turmoil because of our sin, in broken relationship, in things that people do against us. And we believe and we repent. And this is the ongoing process of life. We hurt, we believe, we repent over and over and over. This is His pattern. This is what Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the door of Wittenberg. And the first one said, all of Christian life is one of repentance. We can be forgiven. Number six, a generous love among believers. Augustine and John Calvin said, the Lord's Supper is a bond of love intended to produce mutual love among believers. They call it, it's a bond of love. This is our time. When we come together, it is to love one another. 1 Corinthians 11:18 says, Paul introduces the Lord's table to that messed up church in Corinth. They were pretty messed up. And he pointed out their divisions among them. And then he said, now, let's come together. It's a reminder back, like we have, I don't know, friction with one another because we're humans. Just because we're human, we have friction with one another. And the Lord's table says, okay, come back. Come back together and show this generous bond of love to one another. God showed his love to us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. That was his expression of love. And our expression of love to each other is to set those things aside, to forgive, and to enter into a relationship with them. Number 7. It's a peek into future generosity. Come back to our text in Matthew 26. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new, watch, with you in my Father's kingdom. Did you miss this? This is not just instruction on how to do the Lord's table. This is his promise to us, and he's there introducing the torch to the disciples, and it was after the Passover, and they were there together, and he incorporated that, and they had a meal, and then he said, all right, let's have bread and wine now. I'm going to show you how my life and how it demonstrates. And then he finished that because he was getting ready to go be crucified, sacrifice himself on the cross, demonstrate what he just told them in this expression of bread and wine. And he said this, I will not do this again until we together take it on in the new kingdom. In eternity. That's the promise that we have, the marriage supper of the Lamb, that we will include, we will be a part of this communion with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He promised it, when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom, that one day we will together take this. This is a picture, a peek into what's going to happen in the future. Is that not beautiful? Have you gone to the Lord's table and just went, yeah, whatever. I've done that. Honestly, all of us probably have at some point. But this is it's like, see the grace and forgiveness and love of Jesus Christ and see that it's a picture. Not only what he did, but what we will do together with Christ. What a beautiful day that will be. Revelation 19:9 says, blessed are those who are invited at the wedding supper of the Lamb. So every time we partake in the Lord's Supper, we are participating in a foretaste of the future. This glorious banquet where God's generosity be fully realized and enjoyed for eternity. And so what's our response? 1 John 3:16 through 18 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And communion points us to Christ's generosity and urges us to embody this generosity of ourselves. Our response looks like this. It's sacrificial. Christ himself was sacrificial, graceful, hospitable, forgiving, inviting, loving. The gospel is sacrificial, graceful, hospitable, forgiving, inviting, loving. So what is our response? We can be sacrificial, graceful, hospitable, forgiving, inviting, loving. His life calling on our life to say, this is what you want. And in one word, it's this. Generosity. Generosity. I'm not talking about your money. I'm talking about your whole life. Generous words of encouragement. Generous giving. Generous sacrificing. Generous loving. Generous serving. Just be generous. This is what he's calling us to do. That's what he's calling us to be.